Second Peter chapter 1 from verse 12. The theme of today's service is titled Emmanuel, the deity of Christ. Are you ready to be blessed? Second Peter chapter 1 verse 12. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, as we learn your word this morning, let it not just be a theological exposition of knowledge, but breathe upon your people. Breathe upon your people. Breathe upon your people. In the name of Jesus, train us to keep our gaze on Christ and to worship you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 12 reads, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." Are you seeing this? Can we all read this? 1, 2, 3, go. Remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. So, the Apostle Peter is saying that if I don't put you in remembrance of some things, God will consider me negligent. Are you following this? He says, if I don't put you in remembrance of these things, even though you know them, and you are already established in the present truth, if I don't put you in remembrance of these things, God will say I am negligent. It will be negligence on my part. Are you following me? Are you following me? In a generation that we can call a schooling generation, the attention span, you know, I was looking at the statistics that disturbed me recently. They say the average attention span in generation is not more than 25 minutes. After 25 minutes, they're off. And I think it's lower right now. Instagram says the average attention span to on a video on Instagram is 12 seconds. 12 seconds. That's why, for many people, they don't understand why this year they've read very little books. They can't count the number of books they've read in their palm. They can't count 10 books. You know why? Attention span is dropping. And we have to combat that. You know that, right? We have to combat it. Well, that's by the way. But in a generation that likes scrolling, God does not want you to be carried away. God wants your roots firmly rooted. He wants your roots rock solid. So there are subjects in the Christian faith that you will never grow above. You know, most people, when it comes to Christian devotion, when they learn about faith in their mind, okay, I'm done with faith. Okay, close faith. Let's go to prayer. I'm done with prayer. Close prayer. Let's go to, give me healing. I'm done with healing. Let's go to, but in God's discipleship pattern, after a while, God wants you to go back to faith again. He wants you to go back to prayer. He wants you to go back to who is Jesus. And now, that means we cannot celebrate Christmas without revelation. In a time where we're having festivity and Christmas celebrations and all that, now is the time to go back to, okay, who is Jesus? Are you with me? What are we really celebrating? If you're with me, say I hear. What are we really celebrating? For the Christian, Christmas is not just about Christmas tree, Santa Claus, rice and turkey. Amen. It's more than that. It's a time to celebrate our Lord. See, after me, we celebrate our Lord. Praise the Lord. So the title of this sermon has been called Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. Glory! That's the cross of Christmas. God with us. God came to be with us. And so we are revisiting the deity of Christ. So I want to start like this. Why must we investigate if Jesus is God? What's the importance or what's the implication of Jesus Christ being God? I know that in many Christian circles, they don't even talk about this. There are some people who say they are Christians and they don't believe Jesus is God. Do you know that? They don't believe. If you don't believe Jesus is God, there is a problem. 1 Timothy 3 verse 16. It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Everybody read this verse. 1, 2, 3, go.
Great is
Hey. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. It's a mystery. It may disturb your human logic. So what is that mystery that has been revealed? It says, God was manifest in the flesh. This verse should be enough. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This verse should be enough. That when you saw Jesus come, it was God that manifested in the flesh. Are you getting this? But you see, they say a word is enough for the wise, but 1,000 words not enough. I don't want to complain. Is it for the foolish or for the unbelieving? Let me put it like that. For those of hardness of heart, it's 1,000 words will not be enough. So we are going to give enough. So that will bring it to the point of what I call BRD, beyond reasonable doubt. Why should we study about the deity of Christ? Let me tell you two major reasons. There are plenty, but let me tell you two. Number one, if you claim that Jesus is not God, that destroys the entire fabric of the Christian faith. Let me explain why. The Christian faith, amongst many other things, says that God offers eternal life in Christ Jesus. Listen, God offers eternal life in Christ Jesus. If Jesus is not God, that means the offer of eternal life is questionable. Maybe if the English is too much, let me break it down. Only God can promise eternal life. If Jesus is not God, how can we be sure that his promise is true? If Jesus is not God, the promise of eternal life from him can be doubted. We have every reason to doubt. Jehovah's Witnesses say he's an archangel, and I'm going to address that shortly. The Muslims say he's a prophet. Am I going to address that shortly? He's more than that. Are you getting me? And with due respect to their views, there is a biblical view, both from the Old Testament and the New Testament. There is a biblical view. Number two, if Jesus is not God, then he does not have the right to be our perfect example. The reason why he can be perfect example to us was because God came down into the flesh and showed us the exact way he wanted man to be like. Are you getting me?
Yes,
do you know, if you say he's an angel, do you know that God will judge the angels? Do you know there were things that angels did and God punished them for? Jude chapter 1 verse 6 says, and the angels which kept not their first estate has he reserved in chains under everlasting darkness. So there are angels that are going to be punished. He cannot be an angel. In Genesis chapter 6, there were angels that came down and took on the form of men and went into the daughters of men and produced giants, and God judged them for that. So if Jesus was an angel, that means he must have done things that can be wrong. Hey, you know the weight of what you are saying. So number one, for faith and for followership, Jesus is God. He has to be God, or else the whole fabric of what we are doing is wrong. Well, I'm going to prove it to you. Are you ready to follow me? Okay. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit. You know, when I was studying this thing last night, I discovered the Bible actually now said, sin of angels. That means when Jesus came, that was the first time angels had the privilege to behold God. Some of you are saying, where did you get that from? That's why you have to study the Bible. Let me show you something. Isaiah chapter 6, something that's not my notes, but just to clarify that for somebody. Isaiah chapter 6 from verse 1. So Isaiah had a revelation and he was taken up to heaven. in the year that King Uzziah died. So it says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Verse 2. Above it stood the seraphim. So seraphim is a class of angels. Each one had six wings. Follow me. With twain, so among the six wings, with twain he covered his face. And with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. So that means even the angels in the presence of God, the holiness of God and the glory of God was so much that they could not look at it. Out of their six wings, they used two of the wings to cover their face, two of the wings to cover their feet, and two of the wings to fly. See, if you know the miracle of God being manifested in the flesh, for the very first time, God said, I'm revealing myself. That's why the angels were rejoicing. The one in the highest said, wow, finally! When you wanted to reveal yourself, you revealed yourself as a man. That's another subject altogether. See, no wonder the angels began to speak in Psalm chapter 8. He said, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is man? What is it about man? Are you following me? There's so much to talk about, but let me stick to deity of Christ. So that means when Jesus came, that was the first time angels saw, hey, God chose to be a man and showed up like this. Let's rejoice. That's Christmas. God was manifest in the flesh. You know, you read some verses in the Bible and you just wonder. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 from verse 14 to verse 16. And why am I reading all these verses? I'm trying to get you to see the weight of what we mean when we say God was manifest in the flesh. Do you know how glorious that was? Listen, the apostles at some point thought they were talking to a normal man that will multiply bread and fish. They thought they were talking to a normal man that will calm the storms and walk upon the water. They thought they were talking to a normal man when they asked him, who sinned that this one was born blind? They thought they were talking to a normal man and said, all of those things, they will bring a woman caught in adultery, and he will look at them and shake his head, and he will bend down and begin to write. They did not know they were face to face with God. That, see, men had the privilege. Hey! No, imagine God showed up in your room and said, I want to spend 15 minutes with you physically. What will you do? God was manifest in the flesh. Look at 1 Timothy 6 verse 14. It says, okay, verse 13, it says, I give the child in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot or irrevocable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. Everybody read verse 16. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto. Are you seeing why he had to come? He's trying to tell you that God was is at a level. If you study this actually in the Greek, it says, who hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no creature, not even the angels, can approach unto. Have you ever seen that verse in the Old Testament that says, God humbleth himself to sit in heaven? I saw it one day in Psalms. I was like, God, it is humility for God to have a throne in heaven to sit down. He humbled himself to sit in heaven and behold the heavens. And God manifested in flesh. Praise the Lord. So that's what it means, sin of angels. So angels had the privilege. So the incarnation of Jesus Christ was not just a blessing to men. Of course, the blessing was not for us, but it was a privilege for angels. You know, in Matthew 16, Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? I'm bringing this up because God wants to know what you think about him. He said, some of them said you are a prophet, some of them said you are this, you are that. And even when they said that was a prophet, do you realize that he did not say well done? Correct. Hi, please, I hope I've not lost you. I'm trying to address that thing they say Jesus was also a prophet. Do you realize that they actually said, some say that thou art that prophet, and did not agree. He did not say I'm a prophet. I agree I'm a prophet. Please, are you with me?
Yes,
that means Jesus is not satisfied, even though he was a great prophet in many sense. But he was more than a prophet. He was more than a prophet. Far more than a prophet. Let me give an example. In the Old Testament, prophets came and preached, blessed are those that will die in the name of God. Jesus now came and said, blessed are they that die in my name. Prophets were telling people, this is the way of the Lord. Somebody came and said, I am the way. Praise the Lord. So quickly, let me run as fast as I can. Jehovah's Witnesses says an archangel. And sometimes you wonder how they got that conclusion. Do they even read the Bible? So let's look at a verse of the Bible that destroys the argument that Jesus was an angel. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 5. Hebrews 1 verse 5. So he's talking about God here. He says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Are you seeing the argument? He says, for unto which of the angels? So to which angel has he said? To which angel has God ever said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? None. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. To which of them? None. Verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten in the world, he seeth and let all the angels of God worship him. That means this is someone that commands the worship of angels. Are you following this? So all the angels of God, including the archangels, are you with me? Some people say, I just want to love Jesus. I don't have time for all this plenty Bible, knowing the word of God, theology, all of these things. But let me give an example. Anybody who has ever been in a relationship, like a love relationship, girl, boy, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, you will discover that in as much as you love somebody, there is a way the person wants to be loved. There are some people, the way they want to be loved is they want you to hug them and squeeze them and even spank them. There are some people, don't love them like that. Are you hear what I'm saying? Are you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You love me, you come and be slapping my head. Just by that love will change you. So that's the only way of. They want you to be goofy around them and just slap their head, no, tear their shirt. So there are some people, they want you to buy chocolates for them. Some ladies, if you like, buy your own one for them. If you don't spend quality time, like sit down with them and looking at them and talking to them like this. If you like, buy this whole world, they don't care. Yeah, I think they call it love languages, right? So you have to love people the way they want to be loved. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
Some people, they say, if you love me, buy me food. Just give me your own food tray with samosa, spring rolls. If you love me, give me food. Are you with me? That means you cannot assume that this is how to love a person. You must love the person the way the person wants to be loved. So God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, abide in my words. God believes if you love him, you should be interested in the things that he's interested in. God wants you to learn of me. God will say, take my yoke upon thee and learn of me. That's what he said. So God says, if you love him, you will take upon the yoke of learning about him And truly, check yourself. When you started growing spiritually, you wanted to know more about God. So, in the same way, too, even in relationships, when you know a guy is serious with a girl, he starts asking questions, how old are you? You know he's calculating something. Once they're asking you, where are you from? How many siblings do you have? Oh, no, he thinks he's just knowing about you for the sake of just knowing. No, he knows about you because he wants to be close to you. At least, let's not say he wants to marry you yet. Let's just say he wants to be your friend. So that means if he wants to be your friend, he will try to know more about you, right? So in the same way, even the lady says she's trying to ask you. So when you, she's beginning to calculate if how where you can be in her life, she's asking you, how many siblings do you have? The one of name a boxer. So that, or no, it's the guy that will ask the girl, do you have a brother that is a boxer? Let him not come and beat me one day. He's just trying to know you. So if you claim you love God, soon you start trying to find out, who are you? I just did that to justify this teaching. Because I know, when we are talking about spiritual things, that is a little bit like, okay, Jesus is God. How does that bring food on this table? Praise the Lord. So he says, and again, when he bring that in the first begotten to the world, he seeth, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he seeth, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. Now everybody see verse 8. Very important. Verse 8. 1, 2, 3, go. But unto the Son he seeth. I'm not convinced. Start again. 1, 2, 3, go. But unto the Son he seeth, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Except our righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So if you are saying, how can Jesus be the Son of God and be God? God said the Son is God. Look at it. But unto the Son, God seeth, he seeth, thy throne, O God. God called Jesus God. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. He said the kingdom belongs to Jesus. If God says Jesus is God, who are we to say he's not God? God actually called him. To you, he cannot be the Son and be God, but to God, he can be Son and God. First of all, that also needs, has to bring you to the point where you know that if you can explain God and confine him to the crucibles of your logic, he's not God you are dealing with. If it is God, at some point you should know that it's beyond me. Are you with me? Are you not telling us that there are three gods? One God, three persons. Battle with that. The same God decided, I will manifest myself as Father, I will manifest my Son as a Son, I will manifest as Spirit. Wrestle with that. In your mind, you are the one that is counting 1, 2, 3. To know, so you, that brain that God created for you, you want to now limit God to 1, 2, 3. The God who created mathematics should not be confined by it now. Today is not the service for Trinity. We have another service. I'm going to show you explicitly from the Old Testament to the New Testament when God said, I manifest myself as Father, Son, and Spirit. We are still wrestling with the deity of Christ. When we now start talking about the deity of the Holy Ghost, how that the Holy Ghost is God. If you want to wrestle with that, let me make it simple for you. God is a spirit. The Holy Spirit is what? God. I know it's disturbing somebody's mind. Just follow me. Now, let me address the Muslims that say he's a prophet. We've talked about it a little bit. You know, when Jesus was told you are that great prophet, he said no. Until they said that was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was the one he agreed. So he didn't even accept that he was a prophet. A typical Muslim apologist, people who defend the Muslim faith, we say, where did Jesus say I am God? Well, That may look like a solid point, but if you check the Bible properly, that's a dumb point. Are you with me? For a person like Jesus, when you know your worth, you don't need to announce to anybody. You will be talking in clues and bits and pieces. Look at the way he was talking. In fact, if you study the New Testament, you will come up with two conclusions. He is either God or he was a lunatic. Normal men, how can a normal man say, you know, a prophet can say, blessed are thou when thou art persecuted for the Lord's sake. That's what I can say. Blessed are thou when you are persecuted for Jesus or for the Lord. Jesus now said, blessed are thou when you are persecuted for my sake. Are you crazy? That's why they killed him. Oh, that's why they killed him. They were like, okay, if you claim you are God, we will kill you. Let's see if you can rise. You see, the resurrection will not prove that. Glory! Let me tell you something. On the surface, this kind of teaching may not look like a faith-stirring teaching. But when you think about it, that Jesus was so powerful because he's God that he cheated death. That means that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is too hard for him. You know what the Bible says? If the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Listen, when you understand this, you will now know that there is nothing called final bus stop. There is nothing the devil can do and say, I'll finish this one. No, it's not possible. As long as you can still connect to God, no, it's not possible. Even if they told you that, see, doctor said, see, finish, forget about this thing. There is no hope. If it is God, Mary at 99 will conceive. Mary, 90 will conceive. The Bible says, Abraham speaking, that he was fully persuaded that he who has spoken was able to perform. That he considered not the deadness of his own body, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Romans chapter 4. He was fully persuaded. Like for instance, we are now that we are moving into our land. So we're like, how will it happen? How shall these things be? I'm dealing with God. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Do you understand that? You know, today in the morning, we have weather challenges at my house where I stay, and it's just somebody's carelessness. Somebody was supposed to put on the water pump and all of that, and so I came out, the caretaker was asking one, then I made a statement. I said, if this house keeps giving me problems like this, I will move out. Then the man now said, he said, to find house go hard though. Now Abuja you do, Abuja house. Hey, the other lady that forgot to put on the water said, ha, they go rush your house. So I did not even know when I said, do you know who I am? Initially, I was like, why did I just say that? Maybe they would think I'm a proud person. I said, do you know who I am? He said, the king sent me. God? No, God has sent me to a city before 12 midnight. I did not know anybody. I entered the city by 12 midnight. By 12:05, I got a call. Say, my name is Dami. Pastor David, I know you are in Abuja. That was Abuja. I came to visit Abuja for a program in 2016. He said, I know you are in Abuja because God told me you are just entered. We have a place for you to stay. That's, I'm telling you, with God. He said, I know you are here. God told me you came. Now, I've worked with him long enough to know with God. Can you say that with God, nothing is impossible? Now you can imagine the kind of audacity Jesus was working with. Imagine the audacity. Imagine you carry that audacity in your life. That is faith. That is faith. Jesus, who is God, cheated death. He conquered death. And Jesus has told me if I say to this mountain? When you understand that just is God, his words carry more weight. Are you following me? If I say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in my heart, but shall believe that those things which I said shall come to pass, I shall have whatsoever. Can you close your eyes and say, with God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. I know we have 9.5 days to the end of 2024, but with God, nothing is impossible. So when you pray in the name of Jesus, before, maybe you heard, when you pray in Jesus' name, just now takes your prayer and goes to God and goes and beg, Lord, please now, accept, please now, accept. Now, when you say in the name of Jesus, you are calling the name of God. Are you with me? The name above all names, the name of God Most High. Can you say after me? In the name of Jesus. It is possible. Say it again. Thank you, Jesus. Also, let me give you some more clues. Jesus said, blessed are those who will lose their life for my sake. Remember also in Matthew 4 verse 7, when the devil was tempting Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Did he dawn on you? He said, and the devil did not say, are you God? Jesus told the devil, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the devil did not say, why you don't read that level. You are son now, you are not God. That's not what the devil did. The devil left him. So the devil knew. And why was the devil able to tempt him? Somebody say, how can God, doesn't the Bible say God cannot be tempted? It was because he came in the form of a man. It is men that can be tempted. So in the state of a man, Satan had the right to tempt him. Are you with me? Because he had come into the fleshly domain and Satan was still the God of this world. Are you with me? Are you following this? Also, look at Matthew 13 verse 41. Matthew 13 verse 41. The Bible says, and the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and then we do iniquity. Now, first of all, somebody say, why is he calling himself Son of Man? Remember, he came as a flesh, as man. He came in flesh. So, in flesh, he wanted to follow the divine protocol as him. Are you with me? As a man, every man will have, supposed to have a father. But Jesus was called Son of God, even though he was Son of Man, because he had no natural origin. I will show you later. If we cannot finish it today, we'll finish it later. What got my attention here is, he shall send forth his angels. So the angels are his own. He is his own. Only God can talk like this. I own the angels. I will send forth my angels. I think one of the biggest revelations that has dawned on me about God is humility. Imagine, you know, even when you see the life of Jesus on earth, you see that there were some times where he was almost tempted to like, wait him. imagine you are maybe the grand commander of the Air Force or something, and you just go somewhere with maybe senator and captain, and somebody just pushing you. You are tempted to just, you know, when he was 12 years old, remember when he was in the temple and he was, Bible says he was talking with the doctors and teachers of the law and all of that. And they came and told him, your parents are looking for you. He was like, why are you disturbing me? Don't you know I should be about? He was almost like, what is it? Is it because I'm like this? The Bible says, and he listened and became submitted unto Mary. That's what the Bible said. That means greatness. Humility is not foolishness. It is greatness under control. Yes, sir. At the point, he wanted to say, actually, he shaded Joseph. He said, don't you know I should be about my father's business? Like, don't you know that Joseph is not my father? Like, why?
He shaded Joseph. Maybe you would have called and said, we know Joseph is not your father, but don't be doing like this now. Hey.
Now, you know the Bible usually calls Jesus Savior. He's our Savior, right? You know, John chapter 4 verse 42, it says, for we have heard him for ourselves. John 4 verse 42 says, for we have heard him for ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Are you seeing this? So already it is established in the New Testament that Jesus is the Savior, right? Look at Isaiah 43 verse 11. Isaiah 43 verse 11. Everybody read this. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Read it again. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. That means if Jesus is called the Savior, and God bragged, there are many places, there are many scriptures like this in the Old Testament, and God bragged about the fact that he's the only Savior in the Old Testament. So God the Father was bragging that he's the Savior, and Jesus is called the Savior. So who is Jesus? You know, there's a song Tubular Sunday sang. That song overblessed me. Who is he that can be called the Son and he's the Father at the same time? Who is he that can be called the Spirit and he's the Son at the same time? Except he who exists in himself. Except he who's God all by himself. You know, these are sermons you used to worship. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. Because of our time, let me run into, there's so much I would have talked about, but let me run into something else. Now, what does it mean Jesus is called the Son of God? In biblical context, son does not mean father, mother, picking. Sorry, father, mother, children. Father, mother, children makes a family. Father, mother, children makes a family. That's not what it means when it says Jesus is the Son of God. There are many reasons, many meanings for son. So there are two basic ones. Son means representative. So if you study the book of Genesis, you will see where God called the angels sons of God. Remember, because they were representing God. You will see in the book of Job, the Bible says that the sons of God were gathered and Satan came. Who was talking about? The angels of God were gathered and the devil came. Are you with me? So the angels, when they were privileged to represent God, were called sons of God. Are you getting this? Son of God also means without natural origin. That's why if you study Luke chapter 3 from verse 36, Luke 3 verse 38, you will discover that when the genealogy was read, Adam was also called son of God. Are you with me? So, Luke 3 verse 38. It says, which was the son of, you know that all this genealogy in the Bible, which was the son of Lamech, son of Arphadex, all those strange things. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So he called Adam the son of God simply because he did not come by natural origin. So when Jesus was called son of God, in one sense, it meant the virgin birth. That Jesus would be born without natural origin. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, son of God does not contradict the fact that he is God. And we're going to show it from the Bible. John chapter 1 from verse 18. Hey. Everybody read John 1 verse 18. 1 to 3 go.
No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him.
What does that mean? It means that, remember I told you that God was so transcendent, high in immortality, and he was seeking to reveal himself. God said, you know what? If I'm going to reveal ourselves to people, I cannot come like this. We have to find a form where we would compress everything and people can still see me. So God will come out of God. This is God. God came out and said, I am God, the invisible spirit, the transcendent, overwhelming greatness of light and everything. I am. If I come like this, it will be a problem. You are also God, but you can go. Are you following this?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So he's saying that no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So God wanted to be revealed and God wanted to be declared. And so he said, you know what? I have to find a way to come. Are you getting this? The Greek word that we use for Son of God, or the image of the invisible God, that Greek word is called icon. That's where you got the word icon. Computer programmers know what we're talking about. There is the back end and there is the front end. Now, in your phone or in your computer, when you press caps lock or any of those things, to you, you are just pressing an icon, or you are clicking on Microsoft or clicking on one software or Google. To you, the software is Google. And is that the software? Yes. Are you with me? But what you are not seeing is the whole invisible codes. Are you getting this? If you delete that icon, you have deleted the software. They will even ask you, you want to delete the software, Abi? Who's following what I'm saying?
Yes,
in your phone, that icon is the software. If you delete it, all the invisible codes has gone. So it's telling you that icon is Jesus. The invisible code is all the invisible things that make up God that was backed up inside that icon. Are you getting this?
Yes.
And so, Colossians chapter 1, from verse 13 to 15, it says, who has delivered us? So God has delivered us in the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, everybody. Who is the image of the invisible God? Are you seeing this? The firstborn of every creature. What does that mean, the firstborn of every creature? It meant that when God was creating, the first thing he did before he created anything was to give himself an image. The image, oh my God, okay. The image of God that he created before everything is what we call Jesus. Do you remember that before Jesus came physically on the scene, the three Hebrew boys were in the fire and Nebuchadnezzar saw him in the fire and said, this is the Son of God. So the image of the invisible God that he had created, that was hidden from the very beginning, was what manifested as Jesus. So Jesus is the image, the icon. So you may not see all the light and thunder and all the strange invisible powers of God, but touch the icon, everything is working. Are you with me? So in this same Colossians chapter 2, you know what I'm just trying to do? I'm just trying to make you to get it. Colossians 2 from verse 9. Everybody, read verse 9. Where did he go? He's talking about Christ. Read it again.
For in him dwelleth all.
Remember what I was telling you about all the programs. All the codes. So you were saying that when Jesus came, all the fullness of the Godhead was in him bodily. Can you say after me, Jesus is God? 1 Corinthians 15 verse 47. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 47. It says, the first man is of the earth, Eti. The first man is of the earth, Eti. The second man, is the Lord from heaven. Are you seeing this? I thought that verse should make you rejoice. He's the Lord from heaven. So when Jesus descended and came, the Christmas was celebrating. Oh, the Christmas day. It is that the Lord from heaven came and dwelt with us. Tell me, thank you, Jesus. Say it again, thank you, Jesus. Okay. as we close on this subject for today, Isaiah chapter 9 from verse 6. Isaiah 9 verse 6. Please, did you learn something today? Everybody read. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Hey! Now, listen. This verse answers it for us. For unto us a child is born. Christmas Day, the child was born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, meaning full of wonders. The wonders of God get over your life in the name of Jesus. The wonders of God overwhelm your life. He says, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. So, in your normal mind, the Son cannot be the Mighty God. But in the Bible mind, the Son is the Mighty God. And if you are still doubting, the Son is the Everlasting Father. See it. Are you seeing this? The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So that he is a child does not contravene the fact that he is the God. That he is the Son does not contravene the fact that he is Father. Jump on your feet. Raise your hands and say, Precious Jesus, I believe in you. Precious Jesus, my God and my Lord, I believe in you. Precious Jesus, the Everlasting Father, I believe in you. I'm not convinced. Raise your hands again. Say, Precious Jesus, I believe in you. Exalt him right now.